也一样。 Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God, which we will consider for our devotion today, is recorded in the sixth chapter of St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, reading verses 6 through 10. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In Jesus' name. Dear friends, the late jazz singer Billie Holiday was being interviewed, and as she reflected on her life and her career, she made the following sort of famous statement. She said, "At certain times I've been really poor, at certain times I've been really rich. Rich is better." Now, of course, someone might hear that and say, well, of course, rich is better. It would be rotten to be poor. And I imagine that many of us would agree with that. If it comes down to a choice between being impoverished and destitute or being rich, we'd say rich is better. We hear the old saying, money doesn't buy happiness, but we might silently think to ourselves, that might be true, but I'd still like to try to find out for myself. We hear stories about people who win millions of dollars in some lottery and how often they end up more miserable and poorer than they were before. And we think, not me, I'd do it right. It wouldn't ruin me. Now, there is nothing essentially immoral or sinful about having money or even a lot of money. In some socialist countries, we know the wealthy are viewed as the prime enemy of the people, and great effort is made to divest them of their wealth so that it can be spread around more equally among all the citizens. But that approach to economics really isn't promoted in Scripture, and history shows that it really only benefits those who start out with more power than the others. So it's not wealth itself, but it's the overwhelming desire and the greed attached to wealth which the inspired apostle warns us about. He says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In such a case as St. Paul is describing, the wealth becomes an idol which demands our full devotion and energy, and it drives us away more and more from the one true God who created us and who commands, you shall have no other gods. You need not be a rich person to fall into the trap that Paul is talking about. In fact, it might be the poor who actually have a greater struggle with these things, because in their attempt to become rich, they set off on a mad journey fueled by jealousy and discouragement. And along the way, they might forget about God and forget about and deny the real blessings which He puts upon us each day. Maybe you've heard this story about a man who wanted to buy a certain sports car. It was beautiful, and he wanted it more than anything else. And so for period of years, he worked and scraped by and saved up until the day came when he was actually able to purchase that lovely sports car. Sadly, not long after taking possession of it, the man died. His friends, knowing just how much that sports car meant to him, decided that they should have him buried in it. As they watched that beautiful sports car being lowered into the open grave with their friend propped up in the driver's seat, one of them exclaimed, "Now that's living." It's the opposite of living, of course. It's being dead. But the devil persuades us to believe it, and our sinful nature agrees wholeheartedly. Jesus' words, by contrast, are stark and sobering. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Here the Lord would have us imagine someone who somehow is able to take possession not just of a coveted automobile, but of the entire world with all of its luxury and its wealth, its beauty, its pleasure, along with a nuclear arsenal to protect it all. How wonderful that would be, but along the way, in doing so, that man must forfeit his soul. And then death comes, and all of it has to be left behind. St. Paul says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can take nothing out." Our text today offers us a different path to happiness. Here the apostle says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness is the word for being in a right relationship with the one true God, the God who created you and who alone can sustain you and care for you each day. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminded us of this correct priority of things. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things, all the wealth and the things we might want, these things will be given to you. But Paul says, "Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." From our earthly physical standpoint, that's what we need, just the basics. We need food to eat. We need clothes to wear. Here in Minnesota, we need shelter a good part of the year. But when it comes down to it, that's really all that we absolutely need. Isn't it evidence of God's amazing love for us that he allows us to have much more than those essentials? Martin Luther, in writing the explanation to the Lord's Prayer and the Catechism, described them. "Daily bread is everything needed for this life, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, fields, cattle, money, goods, God-fearing spouse and children, faithful servants and rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, order, honor, true friends, good neighbors, and the like." Still, our sinful heart wants more. And coveting what others have, we may be tempted to sin against them in attaining more. In repenting of this sin, the Holy Gospel places Jesus Christ right in front of us and shows us how, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Our comfort and joy is always found not in the earthly possessions we might have and that we'll have to leave behind. It's found in the spiritual well-being and wealth that has been lavished upon us by our gracious God for Jesus' sake. Jesus, the Prince of Heaven, the God overall, became a homeless man, subjected himself to evildoers, and even consented to be nailed to a cross, where he died in paying for all of our sins, including our sins of covetousness and greed. St. Paul said, "In him," that is in Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. May the Holy Spirit grant us this grace that we may prize those spiritual riches above all others for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you provide for us each day in support of our lives here on earth. We ask that you would keep us from covetousness and greed, and that you would help us to be content with what you give us. Above all, grant us thankful hearts, trusting that for Jesus' sake, we have the greatest gift of all, the salvation, the forgiveness, and life which he won for us by his own holy life, his death, and his resurrection. In his name, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.